How good is that? So good. Okay. Yep, let's do it.
The sweet sounds of machines in the background can only mean one thing. Carbonara, you are just percolating or getting some of the beautiful beans of the gods through a grinder, through some hot water and into your lips. Am I imagining this right?
Mate.
Paint the picture.
Mate, percolating is the word. I've got my Minas Coffee, minascoffee.com.au. Check them out. We've got a few. The boys have sent across a few different beans. I've got their premium beans. So we're going to try the premium beans first. I'm going to hit the button in a second, Big T. I'm going for a short black, no sugar, no milk. Let me know if you can hear this. Oh, my goodness. I just woke up. Oh, it smells delightful. It's actually, this is a strong one. So the premium strong. If you like your coffee strong, minascoffee.com.au.
Mm.
The brothers from the Brazilian Rugby League sponsors the Brazilian Rugby League.
That's what I love most about them. Not just their coffee, but also that they're rugby league supporters. They put their money where their mouth is.
That is as smooth as a Penrith Panthers try-scoring celebration.
Shit.
And a hint of nut, hazelnut. It's as nutty as a Wayne Bennett post-game conference.
These analogies are fantastic.
I needed to compete with Big T's analogies, mate. But that's good. Let me just slam this down. Hold on. Oh, that's good. Okay. Whole bean. Minas Coffee Premium is what I just drank. Minascoffee.com.au. The bags start at $10. So if you're a coffee drinker and you want to support the guys that support International Rugby League, minascoffee.com.au.
And if you want to drink, if you want to drink the Penrith Panthers 2021 team, there is no other place currently that you can do that.
It's the only place. Let's why don't we get onto this this show, mate, while I make another coffee.
I know. Well, sure. I mean, I'll have a glass of water, but sure. Let's go.
You're listening to Chasing Kangaroos, a rugby league podcast for fans who are passionate about seeing the game played in more places.
What is up, Kangaroo Chasers? Welcome to Chasers, the latest iteration of Golden Points. This fortnightly segment will feature me, your host, Big T, drilling down into some key issues with World Rugby League's uncle, Michael Carboni. Uncle Carboni is the conduit of international football news. Like a diacritic piping system filled with electrical cables channeling information, he is the conduit to the world. Because of this, he is uniquely positioned to give insights into a range of growing rugby league affairs across the globe. G'day to our returning chasers. It's great to have you back amongst us. And thanks for your great spruiking of the pod. I see you. You know exactly who I'm talking about. And to you, Rookie Ruse, our listening debut ears, welcome. You will not be disappointed. Oh, and a word of advice, grab a pencil and parchment or however you keep your notes, as Conduit Carbs and I love to drop old episodes which give you details into whatever news we're talking about today. But now, finally, sitting patiently on the phone with me is the master of Chasing Ruse Media, Michael Carboni. Hello, sir.
Oh, my goodness. Hello, Big T. You talk me up. You're putting the pressure on, but I love it. I don't know how you come up with this stuff, but it's great. And I made happy State of Origin Eve.
Yes. Well, I refer to this as Rugby League Christmas. I was overwhelmingly excited to hear that friend of the pod, Denham Kemp, also referred to it as Rugby League Christmas. While talking to the GOAT, Cameron Smith, on their radio show the other day.
They definitely
I don't know if Denham follows me, but I can't imagine that he doesn't. So I'm assuming that the years and years of me photoshopping Laurie Daly holding Christmas presents in front of Christmas trees all these years ago, you know, finally broke through the media jungle and Denham saw it. And so I welcome you and Denham and all our other rude listeners. Happy Rugby League Christmas to you from this warm part of Australia.
Very exciting stuff, mate. Very exciting.
What have you been up to, mate?
Mate, not much. Just been catching up with a whole bunch of news. Obviously, NARL stuff. I've been on the phone to the guys over there over the last few days to see what's going on, and I'm sure that's going to be one of your topics tonight. So,
yes, sir.
Interesting times. But, yeah, trying to get excited for State of Origin, it's hard because it sort of popped up this year out of the blue. Like, I feel like we just had State of Origin. But getting excited about that now. Of course, we're recording a few days before, but this episode coming out on Origin Eve. So by then, I'll be fully pumped, ready to roll, and getting ready to tuck in and watch all the glory from Townsville. It's going to be pretty cool. But other than that, man, I've been fantastic. How are you?
I'm feeling fantastic. I had a great run today at Birchgrove Oval doing some refereeing. Had four games.
Nice.
Everyone, I'm sure you can imagine, was very polite and cordial, and no one suggested that I get them onside at any stage. but other than that, it's great. The football is great. Obviously, the Tigers are doing well. The Dragons did well this weekend, so you and I are smiling. But I was really hoping that we were going to meet up by now, this part of the season, that we would have seen each other for a game. Outside of the one that you and I saw each other at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, Brazil and
Uruguay.
Uruguay, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to see you yet. And the other sad news is I don't think I'm going to be able to get to the next one because there is another Brazil game coming up.
Mate, there is. I'm glad. So we probably could have went to the Dragons-Tigers games, but I'm glad we didn't because, of course, the Dragons lost both of those. Let's move on from that. But, yeah, Brazil-Philippines this weekend, this Sunday, at Kensington Oval, Sydney. So the Coogee Dolphins are hosting the match Sunday, June 13, a kickoff at 3 p.m. It's a shame you can't be there, man. I'm going to be there. I know Phil Brown's going to be there vlogging for Chasing Ruse on YouTube as well. I'm going to catch up with a friend of the show who we're going to hear from later in this episode as well, which I won't spoil that until I'll let you reveal that one in the end in Golden Points, mate. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's going to be a great day, great match. Brazil and Philippines, two great emerging rugby league nations, and I can't wait. And it's a shame you won't be there, man.
Yeah, the wonderful world of parenthood has stitched me up yet again.
I know what that's like.
We love those two countries, both fantastic footballing nations, and Footy for Philippines episode 63.
Yeah.
And also, we've obviously had the King of Brazil on a bunch of times. I think that was in the early 40s, 42.
Yeah, no, I spoke to Rob Bergen, the Latin Godfather, episode 43. He's been on the pod a few times, but 43 was a really good one. And, yeah, of course, your chat, Footy for Philippines, with Ray Neri, who's VP of Filipino Rugby League, was fantastic as well. Going to see both of those guys this weekend. So, again, T, shame you won't be there, mate.
Which team do you want to be on? I know Brazil so far, they pumped Uruguay. You want to take Brazil or do you want to take Philippines?
I've got to take Brazil, man. Sponsors of Brazilian Rugby League, chasingrules.com. Yeah. So I'm on Brazil, but it's going to be a lot tougher. Like Philippines, Filipino squad's really good. They're a great emerging nation of rugby league. And it's going to be a tough hit out. I think Philippines would be slight favourites on this one, but I have to take Brazil.
Yeah, great, because I wanted to take the Philippines anyway after my chat. So I'll take a coffee bet for that, please. Now, the biggest topics.
Yeah, mate.
That's what I'm calling us, the biggest
topics. I like it.
Topics.
I like what you did there. Thanks. I see it.
Thanks. Well, I'm going to hang out with a marketing guy all the time, so I'm finally starting to get some rub off. He rubs me off, I should say.
Yep.
Topic one.
Don't say that too loud. Yep, topic one.
Topic one. I want to do it straight away. NARL, what's doing,
mate? Where do we begin? Ask me some questions.
Is the East Conference going the same way as the West Conference?
It is for this year. So we're recording this, as I said, on Sunday. There'll be a press release coming out Tuesday 2 a.m. Aussie Eastern Standard Time. I think it'll be Monday midday US Eastern Standard Time. And many of you may have read some of the reports about 2021 season of the NARL being called off, and it is the case. It is what's happening. In the press release, they mentioned things like COVID being an issue, rising insurances being an issue. They did lose a sponsor early in the piece. Oh, sorry, a funder early in the piece, but that sort of happened early on. So that was one of those things that was reported in a couple of articles in the last week or so, but that happened a while ago. So they're sort of already moving forward from that stage anyway. But rising cost of insurance, and the other big issue was player visas. So guys like Eddie Pettibourne who was to play with Brooklyn Kings. You may have seen him signing with Red Star Belgrade, which is great for Red Star. But getting visas for the marquee guys like Eddie, etc., was proving difficult. I had a bunch of conversations with Ricky Wilby and with Rob Curtis, of course, in the last week or so. A lot of stress, but like, I mean, there's always stress when you're running or trying to get a competition off the ground. But they were sort of running around trying to make things happening. And it really wasn't until the last minute, that they had to sort of call everything off. So the reports were coming through about the competition collapse for 2021. But even at that stage when people were sort of DMing me and asking questions about it, I couldn't say a lot, but even at that stage, the guys were confident that they would get something up this year. So the talk was that originally, so probably late last week, the talk was that it would be a delayed competition instead of kicking off in a couple of weeks' time like they were meant to. So they were talking about delaying it to August or something like that and still getting a full 10 rounds in, etc., still getting their finals and their Canada Cup. But as things progressed, it just got less and less likely, and it's now being pushed back to 2022, which is a shame. Not a shame, but, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people, Big T, saying, I told you so, and saying that this was never going to happen, and I doubt it's going to happen anyway in 2022. It's all bullshit, blah, 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 blah. I hate to hear that, because I see, like I said, I've had a lot of conversations with these guys. I see the work that's there, and with you and I, mate, we've spoken to most of the clubs ourselves, and we've interviewed most of the clubs here on this podcast. So we know the work that's going into this thing. So, it's a real shame to see already people out there thinking that these are all a bunch of pretenders. We back them. We hope they can get things right. I think in the long run, I think really they should have given this a couple of years in planning. You know, 2022 should have been the original goal in hindsight. And I think Rob and Ricky would say that as well now in hindsight. I was speaking to friend of the show, Dustin Zera from the Austin Rugby podcast. So they talk a lot of MLR. And he was telling me, because he was excited about this whole thing, like more rugby in the States. He was telling me that, you know, in contrast with the MLR, because the MLR has been going for 4 or 5 years now, they spent 2 years planning their first season. So, you know, they didn't take it lightly. And, you know, when you look at NARL, everything was happening very quickly, and there's COVID going on and all that sort of thing as well. So, you know, this gives them a chance to actually sit back, plan properly for 12 months and get something happening, you know, so get something happening in 2022, bigger and better. So I can almost hear some listeners saying, all right, Carbs, Mr. Optimist, like whatever, like, come on, man. But I really am, like, I really see the hard work there, and you know, I know you have too, Big T. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but
oh, for sure.
You know, it's just been a bit of a shame to see it sort of not fall over, but to see the delay now for 12 months. And we wish them all the best. We back them. That's all I'll say there at the end.
Yeah, and I think rugby league is a great sport. A lot of people love it. These people will make it happen eventually. It just couldn't make it happen in a short time frame. We all said that 16 teams was incredible. We all said that in such a short period of time was incredible. So it's not through malpractice or poor planning. It's just a huge amount of excitement. Couldn't get them through this bit, but that kind of drive, I'm sure that we'll get these people starting in 2022. And the same thing will still probably happen with the European thing that everyone was super excited about as well, right?
Euro 13s were saying 2022 as well. That's another COVID thing. It's just been the heartbreaking thing for me is it's been a difficult, I mean, it's always difficult as an international rugby league fan or an expansionist, as all of our listeners are. But, you know, we've had this being delayed, Euro 13s was delayed. We've had a whole bunch of tests, you know, cancelled, Pacific tests and things delayed and things like that. Just when we're building momentum with Tonga and all that sort of thing. We've got a World Cup coming up at the end of the year, and it's really important. But look, I don't want it to be all doom and gloom, because I think one thing I want to point out, Big T, is today. So we're recording on Sunday, as I mentioned. This morning, or in American time, there were two trial matches over there. One of them was the Atlanta Rhinos 68 defeating the Delaware Black Foxes 8, which was
killed them.
It absolutely killed them. There was another one.
Shellac, please. You should have said shellac. I can say kill. You should have said shellac.
Well, you're the host. You say, nah, it's shellac. Absolutely shellac. And there was another game as well between the Washington DC Cavalry, who defeated the Philadelphia Fight 86-6. Another shellacking. But what you will notice there is, in each of those games, we had an NARL team and a USARL team. And that's really important, because it means that some of these guys are starting to work together, think together, grow together. And big score lines, the NRL teams, you know, they put on some big scores, which you'd expect because they've had big squads. They've been training semi-professionally in the lead up, whereas, you know, the other sides, the USARL, is more amateur based. So you expect that gap. But just seeing them working together, to me, says a lot. It means, I think, things, you know, the next 12 months, they're going to change in that regard. The landscape will change. I can already see it happening. See guys like Danny Hansen, who's heavily involved in USARL, you know, hanging out, taking photos, having discussions with Rob Curtis from the NARL. So these guys are starting to come together. And while there's still some politics at play, don't get me wrong, you'll read about some of those politics and you see hints of some of those politics in some of the articles that came out last week before the NARL's media release. But I do see the Americans in particular working together on both sides. And you add to that California Rugby League doing great things. You add to that USARL women's doing great things. You add to that Rugby League British Columbia and Alberta and Ontario, all up in Canada, kicking off soon as well. There's a lot to be excited about this year. And I just hope that they can, NARL-wise, really start to plan it, really start to involve all the parties, take the time, and smash it in 2022.
And if there's one thing this podcast has taught me about big score lines, it's Red Star Belgrade can be beaten, and we say hello to Partizan. Well, I know we have a bunch of people who listen there. So big scores now, I don't mean big scores in the future. So keep at it. Now, you talked there about two different rivalries slowly coming together and coming together for the good of the game. That certainly reminds any Australian rugby league lover about State of Origin. And that's my topic two, women's origin. So the Maroons women team this year, they're going to receive about $8,500 to feature in their June 25 clash against New South Wales. Yeah. That's going to be, of course, in Sunshine Coast, because New Zealand, Queensland just seem to have all the Origin games this year.
Yeah,
now look, that's it's still short of the $15,000 that the blokes get for their games. But this is the first time the QRL was named a 32 player squad. It's an extended squad, and all of those people are paid to train in the lead up to the Origin clash. The guys last year took a 50% pay cut for COVID, but instead of the QRL just rolling that straight back up to 100%. They talked about it as a footballing organisation and wanted to use some of that money for women's football instead of just doubling it back into the the guys.
Yeah.
So in total, a player like Brigginshaw will be receiving almost double what she received last year for playing the exact same game. And this is a great way, you know, it kind of means that the same time, you know, Caelan Ponga will be paid, hopefully in the future, the same as Tamika Upton for playing the same great sport for the same great state. Now, I'm not a huge Queensland fan, that's well documented, but this is a fantastic initiative from them. And one thing that Blocker Roach said at a great speech I heard him do, I can't remember what it was called, Tom Brock Request. He was doing a great chat about Origin. He said, we hate Queenslanders, but we actually have a really special relationship with them because no one else in the country loves rugby league like New South Wales does other than Queensland. Because of that, we have this really symbiotic relationship. And so I can give love and respect to that organisation for creating this kind of pay thing. And it also links beautifully to what you're saying before about the American, so also using their women's game. And really, the women's game is one of the best parts of, or best arms that, that us expansionists have been able to see the game grow across the world.
100%.
Have you seen much about this Queensland thing?
Well, look, I read all the articles like you did, man. I hope New South Wales follow suit. It's a great initiative. I mean, you want the gap to close a little bit more. The important thing is really, like, we keep saying for the last couple of years, like the women's game in the NRLW era anyway, we keep saying that we need, you know, the like more women's clubs. We need the season to be longer. We need Origin to run over three games. But, of course, we've heard our good friend Mary Kay talk on numerous occasions about how difficult that actually is, because most of these women, or all of these women, actually have full-time jobs, and rugby league is, you know, their part-time, it's their side hobby, their side hustle. So the more that the high-profile female rugby league players can earn from things like State of Origin, the sooner we're going to see these women be, or more of these women be able to take that step into full-time professionalism. It's so important for the game if it's going to grow in the leaps and bounds that it has. 8,500 for one game is nice. You know, there's a lot of training involved there as well. But if we get to a stage where our elite players are playing three of those games and earning money like that, then, you know, they can afford to take a chunk off from their real jobs.
Yeah.
And eventually this is their real job. That's got to be the goal. I hear people talk about, I don't want to get politically correct, T. Like, you had a great chat with Jakey Duke last week, which was, we had some great feedback for. And if anyone is new to the pod and hasn't listened to that, or if you skipped it for some reason because it's not what we usually talk about, I recommend you do. We've had some wonderful feedback and it was so different, mate. You did an incredible job. I don't want to get politically correct, and I don't want this to be about equal pay and all that sort of thing. I don't want it to be about that. I just want it to be about, like, we want these women to have an opportunity to play rugby league as full-time professionals, just like the men do, you know? And it's so important, mate. I think it's a wonderful initiative, and I can only hope that New South Wales follow suit as well.
And at the risk of sounding like a golden point, I also want to give a quick shout-out to the Burley Bears, who won their grand final, their women's Queensland grand final today against the Valley Diehards.
Yeah.
But a lot of those players are part of that extended squad and will end up playing State of Origin. So it's also just great to see that trickle down. I also only know that because of social media. It's all over social media that happens. So it's just great to see that Queensland and New South Wales are doing such a great job with their support of women's game.
I love,
particularly with this pay gap.
I love Big T, mate, how we're, because Golden Points is going to change tonight, and we haven't sort of explained that yet. It's going to be different.
No.
But you and I are still sneaking in some Golden Points. So you mentioned this one. I've mentioned the you know, the games over in the US between the NARL and USARL clubs. We're sneaking in more Golden Points into this. It's just, I love it. It's fantastic.
And it's going to be even worse because I'm just about to talk about the Dragons. So here's Big T's topic number three.
Yes.
The slow rise of French football.
Oh.
The Catalan Dragons. So also I should say Dragons, because they are tied first at the moment in the Bedford Super League with St. Helens and Wigan. They've all played eight. They've all won seven. They've all lost one.
Yeah.
Catalans are on a differential of 207 plus 207. It's only St. Helens that has a difference of 294 up there. But it's so fantastic. They're all over my socials. I follow them mainly because of James Maloney, because he's just such a character and does such great things there. But I'm slowly learning more and more about their team and their other players, and the whole thing's in French. It's just so fantastic.
It's incredible. I love seeing my two teams, St. Helens and Catalan Dragons, at the top of the table. It would be like for me seeing the mighty St. George Illawarra Dragons and maybe the Warriors 1 and 2. That's what it would feel like. But you're right there, like Maloney, I mean, he wins wherever he goes, right? So
yep.
Is he bringing that winning culture finally here to Catalans? I mean, they've won Challenge Cups, but they haven't won Super League before. But is he bringing that culture? You've got a good contingent of English players there as well, but a really good crop of young French players coming through, which is, you know, something we haven't seen in a little while. it's a really good mix. And whilst, you know, I'd like to see more French players in that Catalan side, there's certainly more development going on this year than there has in a while, and that's only going to get better and better. I think while we're talking about French clubs at the top, though, you're going to talk about championship as well, right?
Yeah. So they're also, they've got Toulouse Olympique also on top. It's a funny table, though, the Bedford Championship, because they've played six, won six. The Featherstone Rovers have played seven, won seven. They both haven't lost. Toulouse, though, has got a for and against, which is higher, which is, again, why they're there. It's amazing that they can even have played less, I guess. It doesn't matter about scheduling. Anyway, so they're also on the top, which is just fantastic to see. They're going to play that some of their score lines, Carbs. Have you seen some of the points they've put on? They're the next Red Star Belgrade, because against Widnes, 70-0. Against Whitehaven, 66-0. Against the Swinton Lions, 66-18. It's an absolute pantsing over there. So French football's, you know, roaring.
Yeah, Toulouse killing it. Look, they've had less games because there were teams unable to travel at certain periods. I think I recall a London Broncos game needing to be cancelled or rescheduled. So I'm not sure what's happening there. So a lot of it's based on percentages. Very different over there, obviously. Score lines are crazy. It's like when the Wolfpack were shellacking teams in League One. You mentioned Red Star again. Another shout out to those guys. But, massive score lines. And you'd have to think that, you know, if the trend continues, we're going to, like, something to be very excited about is the possibility of two French teams in the Super League. I don't want to get too excited because we all know what happens when I call it early. Sorry, Kaviti Silktails. two French sides in Super League. That's every expansionist dream right there.
The thing I really like about the scorelines, though, from a winning perspective, from my perspective, is that they're not giving up. So you could easily win 30-0 and be happy with that, or you could really go on with it and win 70-0 and, you know, really, really show up. So, that shows a lot about the culture and the coaching, that they're not happy with just enough. They want all of it, which I think is fantastic. Well, the Silktails, you may have put the kibosh on at the beginning. They're 5-for-5 at the moment. So they're coming sixth, which is great, out of a possible 11th. So Glib Dirty Reds, another great expansionist team. They were dead for 70 years. They've come back. They're fifth. So Silktails are on their way as well. So just because they didn't start as hot as you wanted, Cubs, they're still doing well. Toulouse doing really well. Nothing to lose. And Catalan Dragons, hopefully, I mean, not just staying. You said two French teams in the top. That would be great. But I'm saying, like, two French teams in the top and one of them wins the entire thing. That's what I want. I want to see the West Tigers have to go over and beat Catalan Dragons in the World Cup Challenge.
Now we're all dreaming, mate. Come on. Imagine Dragons versus Tigers at that level.
Yeah, international Dragons versus Tigers. Holy crap.
Hold on a second.
That's the dream.
That's a sandwich and a coffee bet right there. We'll be flying over. You know, we'll be mate, get the jab, fly over. Let's do it. Yeah, that's awesome, Ben. I've got a good chat coming up soon, actually. So we're going to start. We'll mention it. We're going to start taking deep dives into some of the World Cup nations in the lead up to the World Cup as we're getting closer and closer this year. Fingers crossed, everything on track to still go ahead. But the very first nation that I'm going to deep dive into is France. I'm going to have that interview, that conversation tomorrow night, actually. So maybe we'll release it next week. We're talking Elite One. We're talking Toulouse and Catalan. We're talking international side. We're talking World Cup prospects. It's just a real everything France episode. Can't wait, man. So I'm kind of glad you've given us a little bit of a taster here with this topic, this biggest topic for tonight.
Yeah. And I'm hopefully going to chat to Papua New Guinea soon. That would be also great. Nice. But there's a whole bunch of teams there. I can't wait to see which countries say yes and what they want to say. Now, that's it. We did try and do a golden point last time where we raced each other to the bottom.
Yeah, it sucked.
And it was fine, but Mercho didn't like it. And so, you know, we often ask Mercho, and he says, yeah, everything's fine. But when he said, oh, I'm not too sure about that bit, then we had to listen to him. He gets to change one thing a year. That was like his veto. Well, but you found someone who was great.
I will just say, when Mercho's not happy, you know it's wrong. So yeah. Murcho's generally the chillest, happiest guy there is. So when he says, no, that didn't work, you go, all right, let's fix it. So yeah, sorry, continue.
And so you went and found someone a little bit outside of the box.
I did. Well, look, I've been friends for a little while now with Mike Wood, also known as the NRL Outsider. And he and I were working on a project together with a few others as well, which didn't quite get off the ground podcast-wise. Well, maybe I'll talk about that more later on, mate, because it was pretty interesting. But just having chats with Mike, it's like we've got to get this guy involved in Chasing Kangaroos somehow. So when Murcho said, look, Golden Points didn't work, you need something else, we thought, okay, new idea. Let's get a special guest coming in as like a newsreader who comes in, reads some Golden Points, and then comes back to us. And I thought Mike would be fantastic because, A, he's an absolute rugby league hipster. He's got a British accent, which is something that we've needed on this pod for a while, and I just think he's going to be great. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Golden Points he's come up with this week. And, hopefully if he goes well and the feedback's good, we'll keep him for every episode.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the first thing he ever said to me was that he was going to like that oval, he and I became fast friends immediately. So, I'm looking forward to – I mean, I had a sneak listen to the Golden Points, I'm not going to lie to you.
Nice.
And his voice is just as sexy as mine, so it's going to seamlessly move into it. It's just a different part of the world thing. And he's bilingual, anche io. So we're all speaking different languages here. It's great. So it's an international podcast. I think we'll just go straight into it, Cubs. How do you feel?
Yeah, throw it over to Mike, the NRL Outsider.
Okay, Outsider, please start speaking Albanian.
Persian Dutchie, Mary Savini, Ni Pikini, Arit, Memutihuajin. For those of you who don't speak Albanian, that means hello. Welcome to Golden Points with me, the NRL Outsider. My name is Mike Mealwood, and I shall be talking you through the wide world of rugby league. And for our first tour, we'll be taking in Tirana. No surprises there, I suppose, when you introduce an Albanian. And in Tirana, one of the more unusual games in recent times has taken place. Illyret down Tirana by 37 points to 29 in a nines match with 25 players. Now, I'm no mathematician, but with 8 players taken to the field for the first time from Rugby Union, who cares what it adds up to when it all makes so much sense? From Tirana, we go to Ghana, where the first women's game in the country's history was played last week. Accra Panthers beat Nungua Tigers 12 points to 8, going some way to levelling the never-ending battle between the Big Cats. Of course, the West Tigers beat the Penrith Panthers last week in the NRL too. But we don't care about that. We care about Ghanaian Women's Rugby League here. Women's Rugby League in Ghana is up and running, and so is men's footy in Slovakia, where they have just completed another nines tournament and are now looking to make it a permanent fixture. Numbers are increasing, performances are getting better, and with the worst of the lockdowns in Slovakia behind them, it could be a great summer of rugby league in the Central European nation. From early beginnings to taking it to the next level, and no, not like the back of the West Tigers shirts. We are all off to Dublin in the green, one for the Irish music heads there. That is where Longhorns RL are planning to base themselves going forward with the 500-seater Morton Stadium to be their new home. The reigning, defending All-Ireland champions will be playing there from this season on, and that could be auspicious. Of course, it was at Morton Stadium that Ireland beat Italy to qualify for this year's World Cup. Longhorns will be broadcasting every game live too on the internet, so wherever you are in the world, you could be in Santry. There you have it, more Golden Points than a good night down the league's club, an international tour that's taken in Tirana, Ghana and Bratislava, and Ireland as well. Falem and Derek for listening. Yep, that's more Albanian. And I'll be back next time with more Golden Points. In the meantime, you can catch my work on Forbes. You can follow me on Twitter for some niche rugby league content, maybe some cute dog content. Just search for the NRL Outsider with a hashtag.
Thank you, NRL Outsider. Fantastic work. It's so great to hear that voice, so great to hear different accents. Not at all surprised that was a slam dunk because the king of Chasing Ruse Media would never miss an opportunity to pull on someone who's fantastic. So congratulations to that. Now, obviously, even the outsider himself, fresh legs, couldn't get through all of them. So you need to get over to Chasing Ruse Media. It's on the facials, it's on tweets, it's on Insta. Insta's my favourite because Carboni always finds the best photos to also elicit some interest. So get around Chasing Roos Media platforms to find out more of those golden points. Uncle, Mr. Conduit, have I missed anything? You're the king of hosting this podcast. What did I need?
Mate, I think you're the new king. Don't worry about that. I'm just glad Chasers 2 has gone smoothly. We welcome the feedback from any of the listeners. Of course, last time was fantastic. We did Chasers 1. We didn't know what sort of reaction we'd get, but the amount of people that said that was amazing, the amount of people that DM'd me and said, oh my goodness, this is the original Chasing Kangaroos show that I fell in love with. It's back, and Big T's the host, so it's even better. It was incredible. So I'm glad you guys are enjoying it. I hope you've enjoyed this one. And we'll have another regular Chasing Kangaroos interview episode after State of Origin. So probably dropping that one on Thursday. And we'll be back with Chasers 3 in a couple of weeks' time, mate. But loving you as the host, Big T.
Grazie mille for listening. Yes, that's Italian again. And we'll get back to you next time, Chasers.
Chasers is a podcast by Chasing Kangaroos Media. The show is sponsored by Minas Coffee. We are mixed and recorded by Paul Murchison. Our theme music is written and recorded by Ash Barco and Ricky Cancino. We are hosted by me, The Biggest Tiger, and Michael Carboni. Views are our own.